Thank you for your love. Yes, invisible. Yes, seen through people. Yes, we're known by our love. And you're known by your love, Father. And it is because of your love that you have decreed certain things, cause and effect, principles. For example, you have decreed a number of things in the Word of God, like if my people do this, this, and this, then I will do thus, thus, thus. You've said in your Word that these are the principles whereby we are to live, and if we don't, then death and will come our way, destruction will come our way, whereas on the other hand, life can be ours. And so this day, as we've come before you with thanksgiving in our heart, we have praised you, we have heard you speak to us, we have worshiped you with our bodies, with our souls, we have worshiped you with monetary fashion. Now we want to open your Word and see what the Spirit is saying to the church today, and how that as we leave in just a few minutes, we can leave better prepared for this life and what it's going to deal with us, with the blows that we are going to receive, with the hurts that we are going to receive, how we can respond to them so that at that time when we do stand before you, now and then, we are justified by faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray that our eyes can be opened to brand new insights that we've never even seen before. And for those that we have seen, it'll be a review to keep us where we should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody here ever stood before a judge? You have stood before a judge? You didn't lift your hand. I was just wondering. Okay. The very first time I remember standing before a judge, I was 19 years old. I had been caught for speeding. And I was going to, like 50 or 60 miles away from where I lived in this dormitory school to be a supply preacher for that Sunday. I had gotten up early. I was on my way. I had my breakfast. I had my Bible. I was in my car. I had driven about 3 miles, and then I remembered that I had left the directions on my desk. So I had to turn back and go to the dormitory and go up the 3 flights of stairs to get the directions to this little country church where I was going. This detained me, and it made my foot heavy on the accelerator, which made my car go fast. But I said, "Officer," when I was caught, "this car won't even go 80 miles an hour." Nevertheless, he said, "You were speeding. You were speeding." Well, I couldn't deny that. I was speeding. So he told me what to do. This is my very first speeding ticket. And I was away from home. I didn't know beans what to do, and I was green, and I was scared stiff. And he told me what I was supposed to do. I did what he did, and it didn't work. And the person told me at that municipal court where I was living, this was in a different parish. There are parishes, not counties, in Louisiana, so you'll have to go to that parish seat, which I did later. And I stood before the judge, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Everything was out of proportion. He was huge on this big bench, dressed in black. And here I was standing here shivering and quaking, knowing that I had done wrong. I had broken the law. Be sure your sin will find you out. And I had to pay the $60 fine because I was speeding. And that was my very first experience of standing before a judge. Incidentally, let me tell you this. The guy who gave me the ticket was a member of the church where I was going to preach that Sunday. And he later said, after service, "Had I known you were going there, I might have been more lenient." When I got to the church, I've got to tell you this. When I got to the church, all my directions said was, after 2.3 miles, there you'll find the church. It'll be a white building. When I got there, there were 2 white buildings, and they were both equal, and they faced one another, and neither one had a sign. So it was eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Which church do I go in with my Bible? So I chose one. I don't recall which one it was. And I went around the back because I wasn't about to go in the front. And naturally, the service was in progress because I was very late. I went in the back. I opened up the door. I peeked in. And I just said, "This just can't be it. It's just not right." So I went around, went to the other church, and looked in. And there was one vacant seat on the platform. And I said, well, I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to go in, and I'm going to sit down. And I did. And, of course, all eyes were on me, and I was turning all shades. And so I just sat down, and people looked at me, and I really felt out of place. And I picked up a bulletin. My name was not on the bulletin. And it wasn't until I heard my name that I really felt a sense of relief. But that's just beside the point. When I stood before the judge, one thing went through my mind. Someday, you're going to be standing before another judge. God's judge. As judge. And our study today, teaching, has to do with this. Is judgment day for real? Is judgment day for real? And what about the judgment? Judgment now, N-O-W, and judgment then, T-H-E-N. I believe the word says that we are going to be judged. Jesus was judged. He went to the praetorium. He went there to that judgment seat. And incidentally, the word praetorium means a stone platform, and it had to do originally with the general's tent. And then the praetorium went to the area in front of the general's tent, that large area in front, and then became to be known as that judgment place. So Jesus stood there in judgment before Pilate. And someday we're going to stand before him in judgment too. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. There are two texts that we can jump from in this study. Hebrews 9, 27. It's on page 303 in the Pew Bible if you're using that. Hebrews 9, 27. It says, somebody read it out loud so you all can hear. Okay. It's appointed unto men once to die. You agree? It's appointed unto men once to die, unless in the case of Enoch we are taken, and then something is going to happen, and that happens is going to be the judgment. And Paul says in Romans 14:10, all of us will stand before God to be judged by him. Everyone will give an account of our life. Now I believe that. I believe what the word says is true. Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. And then Romans speaks to us that we will stand before God, and God is going to judge us, and we're going to be having to give an account for all that we have done. Now, what about the judgment right now? Do you think that we're being judged right now? Let's forget about after death. Let's speak about on this side of the grave. Do you think that right now we're being judged? You think we're being judged right now? I want you to look at these questions like who, where, when, why, and what. Right now, I am being judged. Right now, you are being judged. A Christian judges himself. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 speaks of this, that a Christian judges himself. It says, if we would examine ourselves first, we would not come under God's judgment. That's why Paul says, when you come to the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. Examine yourself so that you won't come under that judgment. So I believe that there is a judgment right now. A Christian may judge himself as to what he is doing. A Christian who is deeply convicted of sin says, hey, I'm going to acknowledge that sin. God brought to our attention today pride. I will acknowledge that. I will attempt to deal with that. I will let God help me overcome that. I'll break through the bondage of that. And I will kill myself to it and the love of it. So a Christian can judge himself. This is why I say there is a judgment going on right now. Our own sin sometimes convict us. Sometimes we sin, and the sin convicts us. The guy who came into the office of the attorney and saw this bird said, I want the bird. Nobody's in the room. So he took the bird, put the bird in his coat pocket. When the attorney came in, the attorney missed the bird and said, where is the bird? The boy said, I don't know where the bird is. That's the first lie. The second lie, are you sure you don't have the bird? Oh, I don't have the bird. And so he whistled for the bird, and the bird gave a reply. And of course, he was convicted right then of his sin. So, which is to say that our sin sometimes convicts us right then. Now, when Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:24 regarding judgment, he says this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. The sins of some people are plain to see, and their sins go ahead of them to what? They go ahead to them to judgment. There is a judgment now. But the sins of others are seen only later. Sometimes when I sin, you see it, and you know I'm sinning. But sometimes I sin, you don't know that I'm sinning. And the first type of sin comes under judgment right away. I do something that's wrong, and you know it, or there is an attitude, or there is something that you see, and it judges me right then, because it says some of the sins of some people are plain, just plain to see, blind to them, but plain to see, and their sins go ahead of them to judgment. But some of sins are only seen later, it says. The father said, son, I want you to plant 2 rows of peas right now. Plant them. And right after he is told to do that by his dad, his friend comes over and says, come on, let's go play right now. Let's go play ball right now. Well, I can't play ball right now. I've got to plant the peas. Oh, hurry up and plant them. Okay, I will. So the little fellow dumps them all in one hole, covers them up, and goes to play with his friend. A good example of this scripture that says some sins are clearly seen, others are not so clearly seen, but they are seen later for judgment. So when he got spanked because his sins judged him, because all the peas started growing in just one section. He thought he had hid, but he didn't. And we think we hide. We're so clever, we've hidden this from that person or that person, and nobody knows we've done this or that. But people, someday, according to the Word of God, we're going to stand before God. And it just may be, as someone said, final judgment is postponed. Postponed. Until the end of human history, in order that our deeds of good and evil may have time to work themselves out in human affairs to final consequences. You know, I put W-O-W after that. The things that we do affect other people. And maybe the final judgment will be postponed to see how all these things work out. But I believe that we're being judged right now. And yet we're told not to judge lest we ourselves be judged. Okay, there's another type judgment, and it's the one that we spoke about after death. The judgment seat of God. Hebrews 10, 30, 31 says, God will judge his people. Any people of God here? I'm a people of God. I am a Christian. And it says here in Hebrews 10, 30 and 31 that God is going to judge his people. So that answers the question, who's going to be judged? Who's going to be judged? You're a Christian, you're a child of God, you'll be judged. No getting around it. Who? You. Secondly, where is it going to be? Now turn to Daniel chapter 7, 10, and it's on page 966 in the Pew Bible. It's Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And here we have a picture by Daniel written hundreds of years before the advent of Jesus that says, Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. While I was looking, thrones were put in place. One who had been living forever sat down on one of the thrones. His clothes were white as snow. His hair was like pure wool. The throne mounted on fiery wheels, and it was blazing with fire. A stream of fire was pouring out from it. And notice this, people. There were many thousands of people there to serve him, and millions of people stood before him. The court began its session. Now, some believe this is the Old Testament counterpart of the Matthew 25 story of the separation of the sheep and the goats. But the word says here that there were millions of people. They were all right there, which is to say in Acts 17:30, God has set a day for judgment. And the interesting thing is God has set the date right now. You who keep date books know what you're going to, you might have an appointment with the doctor next week. You may have something lined up a year from now. You have things on your calendar for months and months in advance. God, it says here, has set a day for the judgment. And it will not be a day early or a day late. It will assume right when it's supposed to. As the word says here, everybody was there. The court began session and the books were opened. Now this is the Old Testament. The court began its session and the books were opened. Where? It'll be at that great white throne, which we read about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John says, I saw a great white throne and the one who sits on it. I saw him. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. See the picture here, people. John saw the great white throne and he saw the one who sat on it. And look what happened. Earth and heaven fled from his presence. Can you see the awe and the majesty of this? And they were seen no more. And I saw the dead. Remember, there is a day appointed. After death, there is a judgment. Here he says, I saw the dead. And here a list of them, which will include us all, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Now the next word is plural. Books were opened. And then another book, singular, was opened. The book of the living. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Then the sea gave up its dead. Death and the world of the dead also gave up the dead they held. And all were judged according to what they had done. That's the second scripture we've read about, being judged about what you have done. Then death and the world of the dead were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. Whoever did not have his name written in the book of the living was thrown into the lake of fire. So we have the great white throne picture. For whatever it means and however it's going to be, we know to answer the question where, it will be right there in God's presence, and we will be standing before him, and there will be two sets of books opened. The books were opened regarding what we did, and then the book of life is going to be opened. So you get your name written in the book of life when you accept Jesus as your Savior, and then you get your name with the things that you do and the things that you don't do written in all of the books. Okay, when is it going to be? We know who, we know where, what about when? 2 Timothy 4:1 says that there will be a time where that we will be judged, that is the living and the dead. When will the judgment come? It depends who you ask. And it seems that there are three answers, so I'll give you all three. You can choose what boat you want to row in. Many people believe, and let me say, we can't be too dogmatic as to when the judgment's going to be, because once you state a fact and you become paralyzed to that, then you open yourself up for a lot of problems. So you need to be flexible. But there is a scripture that seems to indicate that after the rapture, there's going to be a judgment. When Jesus comes in the air, not on the earth, but in the air, and we are raptured up, the righteous will be raptured, and the dead in Christ will also be raised. And it seems to indicate that there will be the great judgment right then. Another judgment seems to indicate that it will be when Jesus Christ comes back, when he judges the living dead. Another scripture seems to indicate that after the 1,000 years of the millennium, as we call it, there will be a judgment there. So you can choose either of those three. And this is the beauty of God's word. God has said some things so nicely that nobody can say, this is it, and this is it. We can't be dogmatic, except to say, people, that there is going to come a time when God is going to judge me and each one of you. When, we don't know, but this I do know. When we come to the question of why, he's going to judge me not to determine, first of all, whether or not I'm saved or lost, because I know that already, and you know that already too. But the judgment also is for the things that we're doing, the things that we're not doing. This is what we're going to be judged for. Now, I've broken them down into three categories. Now, the reason I list them to you is so that we can take some action against some of these things. According to God's Word, and we won't check the scripture reference, but according to the Word of God, there are some things that we are going to be judged when we stand before the throne. And incidentally, we're going to stand by ourselves. We can't stand with anybody else. We can't hope that we've got something that's going to help us. We're going to be right before God as if we were the only person, just like I stood before that judge. First of all, we're going to be judged on the things that affect other people. We're going to be judged about the things that affect other people. We can't get around it. And what are some of these things? I've listed just a few. Slander, false reports, injuring reputations or what have you. We're going to be judged according to slander, according to the Word of God. We're going to be judged according to the conduct that we portrayed with other people. Our conduct with other people, according to the Word, will be judged. This gets pretty heavy. Quarrels. We're going to be judged. We're going to be judged about idle words. Idle words. Foolishness. We're going to be judged, according to the Word of God, about dishonesty. We're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged about broken promises, wrong dealings, and words. So, inventory right now. What about? What's running through your mind when I said these things? This is why we can do something about it now. We can do something about these things now. Slander, conduct with others, quarrels, idle words, foolishness, dishonesty, broken promises, wrong dealings, and just words. We're going to be judged. So inventory. Take an inventory right quick. And if something popped into your mind when one of these titles were mentioned, you can do something about it. Restoration can come about. These are things that affect other people that we are going to be judged. And the second category would be this. When I stand before God, I'm going to be judged about the things that affected themselves. Things that affected themselves. And by that, I mean this. Neglected opportunities, talents, wasted time, carnal traits, loose living, and the lack of spirituality. There are scriptures for all these, that we will stand before God and be judged. Things that affect themselves. Neglected opportunities, talents, wasted time, carnal traits, loose living, lack of spirituality. These are things that affect themselves. So when we stand before God, we have these two categories. I will be judged about the things that affected other people. I will be judged about the things that affected themselves. And the third is, I will be judged against the things that affected God. So we got the vertical and the horizontal. Things that affect God, I will be judged about. For example, the scripture says I'm going to be judged according to refusing to walk in the light that I had. Whether it was a lot of light or a little light, I'm going to be judged according to the light that I had, whether I walked in it or not. I'm going to be judged regarding disobedience. I'm going to be judged against rejection of God. I'm going to be judged in failure to cooperate and to yield to His Spirit. So people, it's just not a standing before God and say, yes, I will believe that in my mind. I will stand before God someday and be judged. But, you know, it's not going to bother me too much because I'm the righteousness of Christ. It's a lie. We are the righteousness of Christ, but when we stand before God, He will judge us as to what we did. What we did. And people, we're going to stand before Him with nothing, nor with anybody to plead our case. you could please picture this. We have the judgment seat, and we have a person standing right here. Now the first thing God does, He says, I'm going to take off your feet. So we take off the feet. God says, I don't care where you have been. It's doctrine of Tua, diddly-doo, and you stand before me. So the feet come off. He then says, I'm going to take your hands off. So He takes our hands off. He says, I don't care what you have done. Oh, but God, look what I did with this hand. I don't care what you did. There are more important things here. The hand will come off. And then it's like reaching into your back pocket or reaching into your purse and taking your billfold out. Well, laying it aside. Doesn't make any difference what you have a mask. Money will make no difference at all there. And then it's like taking your head off too. And yet, we stand before God, we'll leave the head on because in our mind, we have our body, soul, and spirit. And the soul that we have that stands before God, the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the intellect. The soul, body, soul, and spirit, the soul is the mind, the will, and the intellect. So that has made us the person that we are on the inside. So God does take our mind off in that He says, you know, I don't care what you know, it's doing good standing before me. So the mind's got to go too. Then He says, your clothes have got to go off. All that you have and all that you own and all that you had through your life makes no difference at the throne. You stand before God, your wardrobe, your garments have to go too. And so, if I follow it right through, I'm standing before God naked. And there is nobody there to say, well, now he did this or he did that. No. It's just you before God. It's just you before God. And what I want to impress upon you is, people, you cannot hold on to these things that I've mentioned. What you've done or where you've gone or what you've got. You cannot hold on to those things. You're just going to be standing right before God. And the scripture says in Romans 2:16, in Jesus the race was created, preserved, and redeemed. In Jesus, the race will be judged. And so we stand before Him, and all we've got is the heart. Not the Valentine heart shape, but we'll call it the square, the heart, the seat of man. And it was in that seat of man that these things that affected people and affected themselves, and it was in the seat of man that we did things that affected God too. People, we're going to stand before God just that way, just naked with nothing there at all. Now, what I want is God is to release the reality of this, people. Not the judgment now, which is important, but the judgment then, and we'll do something about it. Now we've got time to do something about it. And so somebody thinks, well, I look at Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I say, well, I am okay. That's true. You may be better than Tom, Dick, or Harry, but when you look at Jesus, you fall through. It's like the guy who was riding the train, and he was commuting in upstate, I guess, New York, and while he was going to work, he saw a sheet that was on the line, and he looked out the commuter train window, and he said, boy, that's sure the white sheet. But then when he came back later that day, after the snow fell, the same sheet was there. The sheet was just as dingy as it could be. Why? Obvious. He first compared the sheet to the ground, and it was as white as it could be. But when he compared it to snow, it was as dingy as it could be. And so our sins, scarlet as they are, can be white as snow now, so that when we get there then and stand before God, we will be judged. We will be judged. There will be a judgment. And I guess what we need to have going through our mind again is the chorus that we sang this morning. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And help me to deal with the things that affect other people, because I will stand before God at that judgment day, as we read in Daniel and in the Revelation. We will stand there, the great, the small, the rich, the poor, the learned, the unlearned, all stand before him. Yes, the common denominator of Jesus, but we'll be judged. We'll be judged. Slander, conduct with others, quarrels, idle words, foolishness, dishonesty, broken promises, and wrong dealings. We'll be judged about the lost opportunities, the talents, the wasted time, the carnal traits, the loose living, and the lack of spirituality. And we will be judged, people, by refusing to walk in the light that we've got. We will be judged upon disobedience, rejection of God, and the failure to yield and to cooperate with His Spirit. This teaches there will be a judgment. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, my prayer is that for us all, we can understand this, loose the reality, Father God, that as Jesus, in him, the race was created and redeemed and preserved, the race is going to be judged. It's going to be judged. And that you, Father God, know us even better than we know ourselves. And maybe if there is a consciousness of standing before God, as there could be a consciousness of standing before the judge, I wouldn't have driven as fast as I did. We today would not live as we live, because we do know, according to the Word of God, that for a Christian, even, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. It is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And the scripture continues, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. But God, if we've cleaned up our act, we don't have to live in that fear. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the way for each one of us. Would you stand with me, people, please?